listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us always in peace. Amen. The problem with preaching a text like this, such a good text, but a problem with preaching a text like this, like so many other texts in the Bible, is that there's so much evidence to the contrary. Starting with the claim that Isaiah isn't even writing about Jesus, I learned. He's probably writing this, most scholars believe, about a newborn king, Hezekiah, who is going to be the champion for the South. And I mean Judah, I don't mean Alabama. So last week on our journey, we had the prophet Amos, who was a prophet in the North. Israel and Judah are divided, the kingdom is divided, so we had the North last week. We talked about, this week we have a prophet Isaiah, who is the prophet in Judah in the south. And at this point now in the story, invasions are starting to come. Namely, the Assyrians have entered through the north and they are headed down to conquer both Israel and Judah. The people of God are in big trouble. The people of Judah believe that all of this is because their evil king Ahaz has led them into idolatrous ways. They have all turned their backs on the poor and the outsider. They have all gone after the gods of fortune and glory and self-serving comforts. And now the chickens are coming home to roost in Jerusalem of Judah. Discord and deceit and danger is imminent. There are no external signs of peace or hope anywhere throughout the whole nation, except for this song, this prophet Isaiah's musings. So Isaiah must look like a madman. I almost said mad dog. Don't you think? Isaiah must look like he's just crazy, his head in the clouds as he stands up and says things like, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." What are you talking about, Isaiah? You're talking about taking all the combat boots in verse 5 and throwing them into a fire to create fuel that is warmth to draw communities together? Are you crazy? Get real, Isaiah. Open your eyes, old man. That is never going to happen. All evidence is to the contrary. That's the problem with prophets. They come among us, they stand up, and they describe things that no one can see. Things that just aren't even there, like endless peace. And most people just dismiss them as everyday street performers, crazy entertainment, maybe entertaining for a little while because they're so wacky. Irrelevant, though, to the real situation at hand. At that time, it was this threat from the north, the Assyrians. What is the real threat for us today? What is the real situation that the Isaiahs among us just don't get? What is clouding our vision and muddying our ears and diminishing our imaginations from an openness to the prophets among us? How have we too followed after idolatrous King Ahaz's of our day? That is those who worship, that is those who put their trust in, that's what worship is, where we put our trust, those who worship military power or weaponry or glory or wealth or brute force. Come on, Isaiah. We even have violence and weapons in our churches now. No place is sacred anymore. There is no real peace. There is definitely no endless peace, Isaiah. Do you see how hard it is to hear the prophet's voice? I would love to image Isaiah with a booming Martin Luther King voice Speakers broadcasting out from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, televised across the world. I would love to imagine Isaiah like that, but I have to say lately, Isaiah's vision of peace and hope seems more like the image of a child singing by herself in the corner of this sanctuary any day you come in here during the week. We've seen this. If you're here during the week, we've seen little children. During the week, all these chairs on this side are moved out of the way, and there's tables, and children from the elementary school and from the preschool are in this space. And every once in a while, you see a child playing by themselves, off to the side, often playing with blocks or coloring, and often singing a song to themselves. I think that's more like Isaiah these days. It's cute. It's adorable. It's inspiring. But how does such an image like that, a word of peace like that, a song of hope like that, really have any power in our world today? When are we ever going to trust God enough to burn up our own combat boots? Or as Isaiah says elsewhere in the book, hammer our swords into plowshares, our spears into pruning hooks. I would say our AK-47s into gardening tools. That's never going to happen, Isaiah. Isaiah just doesn't get how things really are, does he? Isaiah's vision seems as inconsequential as a child singing alone in the corner. Now, many of us know this vision by heart because of Handel's Messiah. It's not hard. It's difficult, actually, not to hear the music when we read these words that Bill read earlier. But that's almost domesticated Isaiah's vision. It's confined and boxed up Isaiah's vision into beautiful concert halls and church sanctuaries like this one that only come out during the holidays. It's not much different, really, than the child singing in the corner. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light, endless peace. What light? What peace? There's nothing but death and terror and imminent threat and anger and fear around here. It's important to be honest before we bring the good news. It's important to be honest, not to ignore the world right in front of us, not to ignore the injustice and hatred, the racism and sexism and homophobia, the bullying and violence and abuse that takes place right under our noses. To miss all that is to miss Isaiah's vision too. We can't just positive think our way through this. Just think positive thoughts. We can't do that. We have to be honest before God and with ourselves. Martin Luther said that the theologian of the cross calls the thing what it is. When it's bad, when it's evil, we point to it and we say, this is bad. This is wrong. This needs to stop. That's not the end of the story. In some ways, we've lost track of God's call for us as individuals, as a nation, as a species, even as Christian congregations. We have turned inward, if we're honest, been consumed by fear and hatred. What did our spoken confession at the font say at the beginning of our service? We descend into our own despair, unable to see past our immediate concerns. We drag others down with us and live to complain and commiserate. We ignore the miracle in front of our face. That was our confession this morning. We ignore the miracle that is right in front of our face. In other words, we ignore the child singing in the corner of the sanctuary. Friends in Christ, the little prophet's song is to be ingested. It is to be enfleshed. It is to be shared, despite all evidence to the contrary, all despair that looms about. We are called to take this little prophet's song, Isaiah's vision in, to ingest it, to enflesh it, and to share it with others. Despite all evidence to the contrary, you are the extension of Isaiah's vision, living and breathing still. We are the extension of this vision of peace for this world that so desperately needs to see it. Sisters and brothers who follow Jesus, you have been filled by the Holy Spirit. You have been marked with the cross of Christ for a couple days. No, you have been sealed and marked with the cross of Christ forever and ever. And you have been sent out to magnify Isaiah's words. We are the speakers. We are the booming speakers that carry out the words, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." Shout it from the rooftops. Better yet, live it. Even and especially when the world is falling apart. Even and especially when things are coming undone at the seams. Even and especially when life and headlines and families and churches and communities and halls of power are flying out of control. Even when the world is falling apart, God's people remain faithful. We call the thing what it is, and then we remain faithful to God anyway. Martin Luther is also credited with saying, "Even if I knew the world would end tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today." Scholars argue about whether or not he really said that. But they do not argue about how this statement summarizes his whole theology. God's people remain faithful. We act faithfully. We continue to follow after the one who carried the cross. We theologians of the cross are not blind to what's in front of us, and yet we choose a different path. We choose to love one another, to love this world, and in so doing, to love God anyway. All is not lost. The child still sings. The bread still breaks. The family of God still continues to gather. And we still go back out there, guided by a prophet's vision of peace and justice for everyone. This Christian journey is not a smooth road. Sorry. It's an adventure. But we are assured once again today that we are not on this road alone. And that even if we die, Romans says, even if we die, we have the promise of peace and eternal life. Even if we die, there is nothing that can separate us from our God's love for us and for this world. Even if we die, we have a God who conquers death and sin for all eternity and for all humanity. It is in that promise, it is in that vision of peace, it is in that true and sure hope that we continue, that we are able to walk back out there and live and move and have our being on this earth. The prophet's vision is not lost on us. A tiny light pierces the darkness, and so there's a way through. A tiny light pierces the darkness, and so hope is born. We are guided by that light of Christ into the darkening days that are before us, into these winter shortening days. We are held in the arms of grace into the darkening days that are before us. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we are forgiven of our sin, joined together in that great fellowship of the saints in light, and now we are sent out anew, filled with new courage, strength, and peace, deep peace, to be the people that Christ has created us and called us to be. Thanks be to Isaiah and all the prophets who keep it real and sing anyway. And thanks be to God, who was and who is to come. Amen.
At Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!